Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We woke up this morning and we were able to see the level of destruction along the panhandle, and man, it was exactly that. And we wish our best to all of the folks out there. We certainly wish our best to the first responders. All of the power line workers are out. They hit the streets early this morning, and hopefully they can get back to some normality within the next couple of days. And we will keep them in our thoughts and prayers. How many times have we been in that same position? And we're going to be talking about in the last hour an opportunity here with the United Way of Southeast Louisiana. We've set up a fund here with WWL and others and trying to gather a few dollars to help the folks out in the Florida Panhandle. And folks, I can tell you, during the time of Katrina, Floridians were huge for us. They came out in big numbers and they really helped us in a huge way. And we had a lot of people that lived in Florida, and the accommodations that they made for us were second to none. And we should really repay that initial effort by them if we so choose. In the second hour, we're going to be talking about the midterm elections. They're right around the corner, and the polls say enthusiasm is the highest in recent history. And we'll talk to Carlin Bowman from American Enterprise Institute, a public opinion expert, about what is going to drive people to the polls. And then we want to hear from you as to what's going to drive you to the poll. In this hour, we're talking about Hillary Clinton's most recent comments. And contrary to her comments of the 2016 presidential campaign, wherein Hillary stated that we are stronger together, which includes bipartisan approaches to solutions for our most difficult challenges, that mantra was clouded not too long after she said that, the first time when Hillary referred to half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables. They're racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it, quote, unquote. Not surprisingly, that is actually what Hillary did again this week. Still not able to come to grips with her loss, Hillary said the following: I won the places that are optimistic, diverse, dynamic, moving forward. Folks, Hillary won 20 states and the District of Columbia. And therefore, I guess the 30 other states, they must be slugs, malingerers, and lack innovation, that they cannot get out of their own way. As if that was not enough vitriol, Hillary wasn't done. Hillary also stated that married white women voted for Trump because of ongoing pressure to vote the way that their husband, their boss, their son, whoever, believes you should. If it isn't your husband, your boss, or your son, it's got to be some other male in your life that caused you as a white woman to vote for Donald Trump. Really? No other plausible explanation, Hillary, for white women to vote for Trump other than white males dictating or demanding that white women do so? I don't know. Let me get this straight. White women who voted for Trump cannot have intellectual independence, nor can they objectively judge candidates presented for this race? I guess there was no way for white women to see through the gender smokescreens orchestrated by Hillary, because if they did, an image of an egocentric, narcissistic, manipulative chameleon that would do or say anything in order to be elected. In other words, it could not be that Hillary was just a bad candidate and that the smart, independent-minded white women recognized same. I guess Hillary's loss did not give her enough time to fill her basket of deplorables. So she's back, and so is Bill. In fact, they're going out on a multi-city tour to remind those of us who are in the basket. And you know what? Democrats are gnawing their teeth and stating that Hillary is not being helpful. They forget. It's not about them. It's all about Hillary. Joining us on the line is Dr. Pearson Cross, head of the Department of Political Science at the University of Louisiana Lafayette. Pearson, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You know, as I said in my opening, it seems as though she's not done of filling this basket of deplorables and basically has offended white women and other citizens that voted for Trump in 30 states. And the Democrats in those states that are running in Clinton-carried states, they're not very happy.
Well, that's true. And Democrats are thinking right now that they've got a handle on this election. They think that their side is more stoked up and is in the year of the Me Too movement and gender in general, that maybe they can make a run at domination in the House and maybe winning back the Senate. So they hate to see anything that can be used by Republicans to rally their base. And clearly, the Kavanaugh hearings are one of those things. One of the other things is statements like Hillary just said, you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for. So that seems to be indicating, along with comments by Eric Holder, that, in fact, maybe civility is not the way to go, and maybe some way else is, maybe getting tough, maybe violence, and those sorts of things.
Which was completely contrary to the way that Hillary characterized her style, her leadership in the election, in 2016 elections, where stronger together, that we need to be together, we need to have bipartisan choices and options to these difficult challenges that we face, and obviously still hasn't really dealt with the loss in many respects, and continues to, just attack Donald Trump for whatever reason. The race is over. You lost. Move on.
Well, you know, I don't think Hillary's ever going to move on. I think, you know, an defeat like this is just going to stick with you forever. I think to put this in perspective, though, I mean, we've entered a kind of a new age here, and we've seen that. Like, Donald Trump is kind of all points offender as well.
Oh, he stokes the fire for sure.
Yeah, and he goes after his own party too. So I think in some ways people are kind of, I agree that this kind of rhetoric that takes us in a violent direction is very dangerous. And I don't know if you saw it, but Steve Scalise came out with a very strong article on Fox News, an editorial saying, look, I've been shot. We can't be talking about political violence. And obviously anyone who has in their right mind completely agrees with him.
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of wonder what goes through somebody's mind when you win 20 states in the District of Columbia, that you basically characterize all the other states that you didn't win, 30, a lot in the Bible Belt, the Rust Belt, you know, the center of the country. And to say that they're not imaginative, they're not forward-leaning, they're not any of those positive things that she views her voters as.
Yeah, that's true. And it's painting with way, way, way too broad a brush. And, you know, she should know better than that. That's one of the reasons why Hillary was not a great candidate. You know, and I think I partly agree with that analysis that says, you know, this was a Democratic election to win. They ran a candidate that was flawed and also a candidate that it was easy to demonize and a candidate that helped out the opposition in many ways. And so when she looks in the mirror, she's looking at the person who, you know, by my thinking, is responsible for her defeat.
Yeah. So, you know, Pearson, I've asked many times, and not when this ends, how does this end? Who's the one that's going to stand up and say, we need to bring an end to this incivility, and we need to recognize and get back to the demeanor that we had many, many years ago, where, you know, we had bipartisan votes, albeit we didn't have unanimity, but we had an inkling of bipartisanship in reflected by our votes at some point in time. We don't have that now.
You know, there's no one person right now. I mean, obviously the president would be the person that you would think would do that, but I don't think that's going to come from him. There's nobody in Congress that's not riven by these intense partisan fights. You know, they're the good government groups, you know, that are saying, geez, we can't, you know, this partisanship is killing us. But we got a fundamental problem here. You know, the members of government a party serving in government are getting farther and farther apart from each other. To be quite frank, they're farther apart from each other than the people of the United States are. People of the United States are more towards the middle than the people that are serving both of them, both parties in the House and the Senate.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk in the last hour today. There was a series of articles about the first cases that Brett Kavanaugh was going to be able to consider on the Supreme Court, and none of which really are race-related. But these left-wing writers were saying that because there is impact of one in one race, of course, there would be impact in all races, that you would have to characterize that way, and therefore you want to look to see as to what this is going to be in, the indicator of the future to come. And it's almost like they're intentionally trying to stoke people up on these issues, that it's not a real issue.
Now, when you say race, you mean political race?
No, race.
Oh, race, yeah. As in black, white.
Yeah, black, right, exactly. You know, anything about whether a robbery is a violent crime in Florida and whether or not you can hold an illegal immigrant without bond, which is the cases that they heard before the Supreme Court on Tuesday, as I recall. And none of them have anything to do with race, because you can have immigrants of, you know, any number of races, and you can have robbers of any number of races.
Well, you know, this is the environment that we're currently in, which is that both sides are looking for examples that will motivate and inflame their side and their supporters and can be used as ammunition against the other side. And it's, I mean, you know, right now it's both sides are kind of putting their foot in their mouth in ways that allow the other side to get, you know, ammunition or these kind of creds. And sadly, that's just a reflection. I don't know what to say about it.
I was kind of surprised that she took out after women that way. In other words, to say that they're not independent, they can't think individually, they can't objectively look at the candidates and not be significantly influenced by a male.
Yeah, that really seems like a particularly weak point. And it seems like a point that is against her kind of fundamental gender equality kind of position. And frankly, it's inexplicable. You know, people make choices for a number of reasons, but the idea that white women only follow the leads of their patriarchal husbands is clearly an argument that's not going to cut for most Americans.
It doesn't cut in my marriage.
I do exactly whatever my wife tells me.
Yes,
let me just
yes,
be on
dear. Yes, dear. All right, Dr. Pearson Cross, head of the Department of Political Science at University of Louisiana Lafayette. Thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate your insight.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Have a great weekend. We'll be right back after the break. We want to hear from you. Do you believe Hillary's helping or hurting the Democratic Party? And if you're a woman who voted for Trump, are you insulted by her comments? Give us a call, 260-1870, or text us at 870-870. Hillary Clinton said, "I won the places," I guess she means the states, "that are optimistic, diverse, dynamic, moving forward." Well, Louisianians, you're not in that number. Mississippians, you're not in that number. Texans are not in that number. And you folks over in Alabama, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and the list goes on and on. You're not in that number either. Let's go to line one, talk to Dan in Burris. What say you, Dan?
Hey, Neil, how's it going?
Doing great.
I was just wondering, the machine seems like it's always talking about the Republicans and Democrats. You know, it's like, well, if you don't, you know, go out and vote. If you don't like the Republicans, go vote for the Democrats. Well, you know, there were 17 different presidents that ran this time president. And, you know, you don't ever hear anything about their party.
Well, that's because Congress is not really set up to accommodate their party, right?
Well, I'm not talking about Congress. I'm talking about your show.
I understand, but it all drives what's going on in Congress, because the agenda of the president and the whosever administration is in goes nowhere without getting it through Congress. So Congress is set up as a two-party body, and, you know, it, for the most part, and they don't really care about all those others unless they absolutely need them.
I'm not talking about the Congress. I'm talking about, like, the news. And, you know, when Trump said fake news, he was really right in a way, except he just totally made just, you know, crazy accusations. But the news, the media just goes by the two-party system. In other words, when they report on something, they just go ask the lead Democrat, well, what happened? And they go, well, that's Republican. What happened? And that's what all they give.
Right.
When there's, you know,
so
look,
so Dan,
let
me ask you, what do you think of Hillary's comment when she says that white women only voted for Trump because of the pressures of their white male counterparts?
I can't much, she's just a sore loser. You know, her, the Bush and Clinton dynasty came to an end, which, you know, I didn't like Donald Trump, but I voted for him just because I thought he might be better. Now, little did I know what a mistake that was. But, I mean, like I'm saying, we don't have a choice. The media only reports on two parties.
Yep, absolutely.
So it doesn't matter if you vote for Hillary or Donald Trump. There's no difference.
Right. Thanks so much, Dan. Thanks so much, Dan, for calling in. Appreciate it. Got to get to a break. We'll be back, and we're talking about the comments of Hillary Clinton, and on a text line, you'll defend just about anything Republicans do, but as soon as Democrats hit back, it's uncivil and it must be stopped. What a joke. Well, I'm not the only one that says that. There are a number of Democrats that are saying that as well. In fact, Senator Heidi Heitkamp says that about her comments, cannot be civil with Republicans who want to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. She says, that's ridiculous. On CNN, Anderson Cooper. I mean, I can't imagine how you could get anything done if you don't bring civility back into politics, and that goes for both sides. I hope that we find common ground in this country that sexual assault is more prominent than people thought it was, she said. Well, that seems like a very mature response, completely and totally unlike Hillary's response. And Claire McCaskill, also who's running in a state that Trump won by 19 points in Missouri, I think they were expressing their frustration with the status quo. I may not have agreed with their choice, meaning back in 2016, but I certainly respect them, and I don't think that's the way you should talk about any voter, especially the ones in my state. Basically calling white women voters in Missouri backwards, not forward-leaning, not all the other things as well. And then also Senator Sherrod Brown, a Democrat in Ohio, also made it clear that he was unhappy. I don't really care what she said, he told a reporter. I just think that that's not helpful. And, you know, they asked him, what do you think about Hillary Clinton calling Ohioans backward? And he said again, I don't care what she says. Then in the aftermath of this, obviously the Democratic pundits started to try and put a positive spin on this by saying Hillary Clinton speaking will always trigger the right wing that hates her. But she's also a constant reminder that the majority of the country didn't actually vote for the chaotic disaster we're seeing on TV every night. And I guess that goes right back to them, as we had a show the other day, trying to attack the Electoral College. Which is always a problem as well. Let's go to line one, Mike and Metri. What say you, Mike?
Hey, quick question, though. Did you happen to listen to the interview or read the transcript?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm looking at it and listening to it because I heard this stuff before. And if I'm incorrect, that she was basically, when she said that she was quoting what Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook said. Am I missing that?
I think so. What are you talking about? The basket of deplorables, or
no,
when
the,
she
the
said,
thing about women.
I won the places that are optimistic, diverse, dynamic, moving forward.
No, the comments about when they said about the women that with the getting voted pressure with the men, that part that we said that she said. She was quoting somebody else when she said that.
You may be correct. I don't know about that one. I was talking about the other two.
Yeah, well, that one, because the other guy was talking about that, too, and you asked him about how she said about feeling, because you were asking the other caller about what she said about
right, but she obviously, the tenor of that one is one that she embraced, and that was the
not necessarily, well,
well, she's quote, she quoted her. I mean, if you're going to give
right,
a speech and you're quoting somebody and you're not having a lead in that you're taking the opposing viewpoint, obviously you're embracing it. As the belief of the other voters, or the Trump voters, and what they stood for or did not stand for.
Well, she wasn't quoting somebody. She was asked a question.
Well, what about the comment she made, you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for? Doesn't the same hold true that the Democrats don't like what the Republicans stand for?
No,
we have two complete separately different platforms that are not in concert with one another. They're in conflict with one another.
She also said in the interview about how Sanders supporters were treating her too. So she wasn't just the sexism that she was referring to, like you said, that she was alluding to, wasn't just coming from one side. She was talking about it in general. She even said that she was getting stuff, her campaign and herself were getting backlash on sexism from Sanders supporters. So yeah. She was talking about sexism in general. She wasn't just talking. I understand the point, and I get what we're trying to say, but you know, we gotta keep the, you know, where it came from and how it came.
I think it is a legitimate point, and I think it's I can connect the dots real easy when we're talking about the basket of deplorables, and it seems as though that she just has more people to put in and identify that should be in the basket of deplorables.
No, listen, she. Some of the stuff that she said did not help at all. But I mean, we could go back and say.
Look, let's just call it for what it is. What she said is stupid, and what she needs to do is go somewhere else and graze for a little while and figure out her life. And you know, and she's completely angry about the results of this election, and she blames everybody else. I have never heard her say that. She completely misread the general public, that she completely underestimated the shallowness of the message that she was delivering, that she completely underestimated the desire of what the public was looking for. Now, she wants to validate her election because she ended up with more of the votes as opposed to the electors. Well, the process isn't about the votes, and it never has been. And only three times in the history of this country has the outcome of the election been where somebody won the Electoral College but not the popular vote.
There's a reason I agree with what you're saying, but there's also a reason, though, why we're talking about this interview on NPR 2 years after she lost. It's also a talking point for the other side. Well, this is what Hillary's saying. I agree with you. But why are we? But we're also on the other side is bringing it up for their advantage too. She lost. She's not running for politics. What she says or what the things that she still says in relevant interviews don't mean anything moving forward politically, except for when she says something wrong. Then it's also fuel for the other side. So we can all take advantage of something that somebody said in context or out of context to use it against the other side. I'm with you. I don't know why we're talking about it. And I voted for
it. Well, I think it's important because of what her theme was when she ran in 2016 of standing together. And she specifically, in multi-speeches throughout that campaign, talked about bipartisanship, talked about reaching across the aisle, talked about bringing people together on issues in order to provide significant solutions to very difficult contemporary challenges. What she's saying now doesn't get from point A to point B, in my view. Now, I mean, maybe I'm stupid, but I don't see the connection.
All I can say is on the civility issue, and I know you had your guests before, is please let's just remember that it was, you know, 89,000 people that determined the election. You know, that means there's a whole lot of other people that have a voice and a certain point of view that we all want to ignore and just say, my side won, your voice doesn't matter. And it's not the politician's fault. It's our fault for just saying, I won, you don't matter. The elections are that close, and we're not counting the other person's point of view on both sides.
But I don't blame them.
Isn't
it a two-way street, though? You have to put somebody in a position to matter? You have to articulate a message where you can matter?
I agree with you. Yeah. I don't think, generally, I don't think the public cares enough. We just want to be right, not necessarily.
No, I don't disagree with you there a lot of times. Mike, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate the time. Got to get to a break. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL. We're back, and on a Blue Runner opinion poll, Hillary Clinton called out white women for voting the way their husbands wanted them to, and she directed Democrats not to be civil to Republicans. Do you agree or disagree with her? 78% of the respondents say that they disagree with Hillary Clinton. Let's go to line two, Ronald in Metairie. What say you, Ronald?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great.
Yeah. She lost. She didn't run a good campaign. She was divisive. And this lady from a senator from Hawaii said men should just shut up.
Senator,
just think if we said that to women. You know, a senator said that to, you know, made that comment in public.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in the Maisie Hirono world of of guilty till proven innocent and no due process. That's a world I have no interest in living in.
And see, another thing, a lot of these mothers have sons, and if you can, they go to college, and the girl makes up a story on them or accuses them of something they didn't do, or you know. And you know, that's just not solid, is not factual, and is harmful. We can't live like that.
In fact, right now in this country, there's over 300 lawsuits that are attacking lack of due process under Title IX tribunals that are run by college campuses across this country on that very issue, both male and female plaintiffs, Ronald. Ronald, got to get to a break. Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Let's get to this break, and we'll be right back. On the Blue Runner opinion poll, Hillary Clinton called out white women for voting the way their husbands wanted them, and she directed Democrats not to be civil to Republicans. Do you agree or disagree with her? 80% of the respondents disagree. Let's go to line one, talk to Betty in Slidell. What say you, Betty?
I think what Hillary Clinton is referring to is the evangelicals, because it's very true that they have to do what their husbands tell them to do. That's a fact. You can research that. They are not allowed to think independently, and they are told that they have to obey their husbands. So whenever you know, you get a vote from an evangelical, you get two, because that's how it is. And you really need to make that part of the conversation as well.
Well, it can't be simply that they think alike.
Oh, no. Well, in some cases that may be true, but the majority.
Well, wouldn't you believe that?
No, they are primed. These women are primed. Believe.
Well, I happen to know a number of evangelical couples, and I know some that have very independent-minded women that are in that relationship.
And they're not true evangelicals, because the evangelicals, that's how they believe. That's part of their religion. Okay. And I know a lot of them, too, and I know that's what they say, and that's how they believe. The women are not allowed to cut their hair. They're not allowed to wear makeup.
So it's okay to be critical of that?
I'm
asking you. She was being critical of that. It's okay to be critical of that?
I'm not critical of anybody.
No, I'm talking about Hillary Clinton.
If she was being critical, there's the First Amendment. You got to tell me that she can't criticize somebody.
No, she's free to say what she wants to say, but she's got to suffer the consequences of her words. Betty, thanks so much for calling in. Got to get to the cash contest brought to you by WeFixMoney.com. Need emergency cash? Check out WeFixMoney.com for more. Ready for your chance to win $1,000 in the Intercom National Cash Contest? The code word this hour is MILK. Text MILK to 72881. MILK to 72881. Text now and you could win $1,000 cash. Listen for the next code word. Just before the top of the hour, every hour now through 6 p.m., $1,000 is up for grab. Good luck from all of us at WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.